Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text 24. Vasudeva Kalanantaha Sahasra Vadanaha Swara Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Shakirshaya Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasravadana Swarat Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasravadana Swarat Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasravadana Swarat Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasra Vadana Swarat Bhavita Devo Hare Krishna Vasudeva Kalananta Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Krishna Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasra Vadana Swara Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasra Vadana Swara Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasra Vadana Swarat Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya Vaishnavis Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasra Vadana Swara Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasra Vadana Swara Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya Vasudeva Kala Anantaha the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna, known as Ananta Dev or Sankarshan Ananta, the all-pervasive incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Sahasravadanaha, having thousands of hoods. Swara, fully independent. Agrataha, previously. Bhavita, will appear. Devaha, the Lord. Hare, of Lord Krishna. Priya Chakirshaya, with the desire to act for the pleasure. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarshan, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Sankarshan will appear as Baladev, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Please repeat. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarshan, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Sankarshan will appear as Baladev, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Purport. Sri Baladev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He is equal in supremacy to the Supreme Godhead. Yet, wherever Krishna appears, Sri Baladev appears as his brother, sometimes elder and sometimes younger. When Krishna appears, all his plenary expansions and other incarnations appear with him. This is elaborately explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This time, Baladev would appear before Krishna as Krishna's elder brother. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. So we're reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavat Purana. And in the Puranas, we see that the Vedic teachings are presented in terms of historical narrations because people like stories. So these stories are actual histories, and you know, in the Vedic cosmology, history goes on for a long time because the Vedic system of time is cyclical. The basic unit of the Vedic cyclical time is called the Kalpa or the day of Brahma. So when the universe begins, You know, we find there's the Garbhadakshay Vishnu lying in the Garbha ocean in this universe, and from his navel a lotus flower sprouts, and on top of the lotus flower, Brahma takes his birth. And Brahma begins manifesting the planetary systems within the universe and the bodies that the conditioned souls will occupy in the universe. So right from the very beginning, there's history going on in the sense that there are great personalities. There are different sages who are manifested. Different kinds of demigods are manifested, human beings, plants, animals. So they existed right at the very beginning of the creation. So there's history going on from the very beginning. You know, according to the mundane concepts, history is something that starts a few thousand years ago when humans developed the ability to record their activities in writing. But, you know, these Puranas, like the Bhagavad Purana or Srimad Bhagavatam, they record activities that went on millions and millions of years in the past. This universe began with the appearance of Lord Brahma, and according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are now in the beginning of the 51st year of Lord Brahma's life. And he lives a long time. You know, if you calculate it out, it's 311 trillion 40 billion years. And we're about halfway through a lifetime of Brahma. You know, that's about 155 trillion years. So a lot can happen in 155 trillion years. Yeah, just like you see, you know, they put out every day in Los Angeles a newspaper, the Los Angeles Times, and it's, you know, 40 or 50 pages long, full of all the happenings in the world, in the state, in the county, in the city. So you can imagine how many events would be recorded over 155 trillion years. A lot of useless information, really. So the Puranas, they record only the most important essential events. And the most important events that occur in the history of the universe are the appearances of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The universes are manifested by Krishna to give a place for the conditioned souls to act out their activities if they want to exist separately from him. That's why conditioned souls are here. Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavanchakare Nikatishta Mayatare Japatiyadare. Some souls have turned their faces away from Krishna, and when they do that, the material energy is there to give them an alternative space to act out their desires to enjoy independently from Krishna. But Krishna also makes the arrangement for them to reform themselves. Krishna establishes the Vedic teachings in the universe. Brahma not only creates the planetary systems and the bodies for the conditioned souls, he also is the founder of a disciplic succession, the Brahma Sampradaya. Brahma hears the Vedic wisdom from Krishna, and he transmits it to Narada, who transmits it to Vyas, and so on, down through the disciplic succession, evam parampara praptam. This knowledge, this Vedic knowledge, the Vedic teachings are received through disciplic succession. And the most important Vedic teaching is that we are eternal servants of Krishna who have somehow or other fallen into forgetfulness. And we are trying to reawaken our original identity as eternal servants of Krishna. So Krishna has arranged this material universe and many other material universes for two purposes: to give conditioned souls an opportunity to forget him and act independently from him, if that's what they choose to do, by exercising their free will. Each soul has free will. But Krishna also gives the opportunity for the conditioned souls to remember him, to wake up from their forgetfulness. So he's arranged everything to encourage that. But sometimes the arrangements he makes break down. So then Krishna comes periodically to restore things. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam hi dharmasya tadatmanam shrujamyaham. When dharma, you know, the arrangement that Krishna makes for people to become Krishna conscious, to remember him, to remember their own identity as eternal servants of Krishna, when that system breaks down and abhyutanma dharmasya, the opposite, becomes dominant, then Krishna comes to this world. Tadatmanam srujamyaham. He says, at that time I come. Why? Paratranaya sadunam vinashaya chudushkritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So for those who are trying to do the right thing, who are trying to restore themselves to their original position as Krishna's eternal servants, Krishna comes to protect them, to encourage them, to make arrangements for them to be successful individually and collectively in human society. And he comes to discourage and suppress those who are trying to do the opposite. So he comes to reestablish the eternal principles of religion. So these are the kinds of events that are recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the appearances of Krishna and his various incarnations. And of all the different ways in which Krishna appears, the most significant is when he comes in his original spiritual form as Govinda, Krishna, rather than in his other incarnations like Rama, Nisringa, Vamana. There's so many. Krishna has unlimited incarnations. But when he comes in his original form, it's especially significant. And the Srimad Bhagavatam records that as the most significant event in the history of the universe. So this 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in particular is dedicated to describing Krishna's appearance, which occurs once in a day of Brahma. You know, Brahma lives for 100 of his years, which, as I said, is a long time, 311 trillion years. So one of his days lasts for 4,320,000,000 years. So many days of Brahma pass, and only in each day is made up of 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas. Sahasra yuga paryantam aharyad brahmano viduhu. The day of Brahma is made up of 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas. So it's a long time, but Krishna appears only once in a day of Brahma. So that's being described here. And we're learning that before Krishna appears, so many arrangements have to be made. Like Krishna is sometimes described as the supreme actor. You know, he comes to this world to display his pastimes like an actor. So we're in Los Angeles, Hollywood, and, you know, we often see sometimes in the streets around here, they are doing filming of movies or television shows. So you'll notice, you'll see, you know, first some trucks arrive and some security people and, you know, some maintenance vehicles, and then gradually the vehicles that have the rooms for the stars come, and the extras come, and the production people come, and then finally the stars come, you know, to perform their activities. Of course, like in filmmaking, there's usually a producer. You know, the producer is the controller of the whole thing. He's the one with the money. He hires a director. He hires the actors. He buys a script. He's in charge of the whole production. But sometimes we see that an actor will become not only just the star of the show, but also the producer and the director. So Krishna is something like that. He's like an actor who is also really the producer and the director of the whole show. But in any case, before he comes on the stage, he makes so many arrangements for supporting persons to also be there. And in this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam that we're looking at today, we're seeing the appearance of a key personality, his brother Balaram, who is also his first expansion, Shesha or Ananta. Just like Krishna has a lot of identities, Baladev also has a number of identities as Ananta, as Shesha, as Balaram. So he's appearing. So before Krishna appears, he sends his parents, Vasudev and Devaki, and also Nanda and Yashoda, because he's got a very complicated history. Krishna is going to appear as the eighth son of Devaki, and Balaram is appearing as the seventh pregnancy of Devaki. Before that, there were six others. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn there's a whole big history about why that was. When Devaki was married to Vasudev, she was accompanied by her brother, Kamsa. That was the system. But Kamsa had a bit of a history, and he heard a voice from the sky that the eighth child of Devaki was going to kill him. So he decided on the chariot, the wedding chariot, he was riding with his sister, taking her to his brother's house. And to Vasudev's place. And he decided he was going to kill her, but then he heard a voice from the sky. He heard a voice from the sky saying that the eighth child of Devaki was going to kill him, so he decided to kill her first. But Vasudev convinced him not to do that. He said, "I'll give you all the children." So children were born one after another, six of them, six sons. And these six sons had a history. Way back in the beginning of creation, there was a sage named Marichi, and he had six sons. And they once saw Brahma doing an abominable thing. Sometimes the demigods, like Indra and Brahma, they engage in activities that are not fully dharmic. Occasionally that happens to them. They do things to oppose Krishna. So once Brahma became attracted to his daughter, and these sons of Marichi criticized him, and for that they were cursed to become sons of Hiranyakashipu, who was a great demon. So they became sons of Hiranyakashipu, and they decided that they wanted to get a benediction from Lord Brahma. Actually, Hiranyakashipu himself had gotten a benediction from Lord Brahma that he wouldn't be killed by any human being or animal or demigod or whatever. So they decided they also wanted a benediction like that. So they went to Brahma and they got a benediction that they wouldn't be killed by any demigod or human. Now, they were born in a family of demons, so they thought they didn't have to worry about being killed by any demon. But their father, Hiranyakashipu, was very upset that they had gone without asking him to this demigod, Brahma, to get a benediction. So he cursed them to take birth as the sons of Kalaneni, who was another demon, and he said, "You're going to eventually be killed by your own father." So their father was Kalaneni, and Kalaneni took birth as Kamsa, and these six sons of Kalaneni took birth as the sons of Vasudev that were killed by Kamsa to fulfill this prophecy. But then, after that, Balaram took shelter of the womb of Devaki. This arrangement was made by Krishna himself. And he told Yoga Maya, the personification of his spiritual energy, "You enter the womb and you take this Shesha, Baladev, and place him in the womb of Rohini." So Rohini was another wife of Vasudev. And to protect her, Vasudev had sent her to Vrindavan to be under the shelter of Nanda Maharaj. And so Yogamaya did as she was told. She, somehow or other, by her potency, she attracted this embryo from the womb of Devaki and transferred it to the womb of Rohini in Vrindavan. And Devaki thought she had had a miscarriage. But actually, the embryo of Baladev had been transferred to the womb of Rohini, and he took birth there. So he was the brother of Krishna because of that. He had the same father. And actually, he was first appeared in the same womb that Krishna would appear in. One of the functions of Shesha or Sankarshan is to prepare things for Krishna's appearance. So he did that and then went to the womb of Rohini, and then Krishna appeared as the eighth son. So because Baladev appeared first, he's referred to as the elder brother of Krishna. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we see that, you know, movies have very complicated plots. So in the same way, you know, we can see that in Krishna's pastimes, there are complexities, but they're very attractive. And it's said that if we focus our minds on these things, like later in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of the sons of Marichi and Kalanemi and how they took birth as the first six sons of Devaki who were killed by Kamsa, is explained in a little more detail. And it's said at the end of that chapter that if one absorbs one's mind in trying to understand that little pastime, then one develops the ability to focus one's mind on Lord Krishna. So after Baladev appeared in the womb of Devaki and was transferred to the womb of Rohini, then Krishna appeared, and Yogamaya herself appeared as the daughter of Nanda and Yashoda, and then Krishna himself was transferred from the prison house of Kamsa, where he appeared as the child of Vasudeva and Devaki. He was transferred to Vrindavan and exchanged for the daughter that had been born of Yashoda. So Krishna was taken to Vrindavan, where he appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda, and Yogamaya went back to Mathura, to the prison house, where she appeared as daughter of Devaki and Vasudev. And Kamsa still thought some danger might be there for him from this child of Vasudeva and Devaki, so he wanted to kill her, but he wasn't able to do it. So here in this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're hearing about how Baladev appeared before Krishna, because Krishna makes these arrangements to prepare for his own appearance, which we're going to hear about next. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.